During the past 2 weeks, the court has heard from experts, more than a dozen people who say they were disenfranchised, as well as a couple of lawmakers. There have been questions about statistics, polling procedures, and why Republican legislators passed the controversial law, known as House Bill 589.
The only reason I can think of is to suppress the vote. It doesn't take a rocket scientist in my book to figure that out.
Mickey Michaud was first elected to the General Assembly in 1972, only the third African American to ever serve in that body. This week, he testified about his relationship with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the history of voter suppression in North Carolina, and how tools like early voting improved black participation. But the Democrat wasn't behind the controversial measure. His Republican counterparts who were haven't testified. They're using legislative immunity or privilege. It keeps them off the stand and from having to turn over some emails and documents related to the case.
I don't think this is a thing that legislative privilege should be. I mean, here you're talking about a constitutional right, and you should not be exercising any type of legislative privilege trying to protect or defuse constitutional rights.
According to the Legislative Library in Raleigh, privilege in North Carolina dates back to 1787. It's older than the U.S. Bill of Rights. Similar privileges exist across the country and at the federal level.
Legislators' speeches and debates with respect to pending legislation cannot be used against them in any other setting.
Steve Huffner is a professor in the Moritz College of Law at Ohio State University.
We could have just a sort of unlimited number of claims that citizens would bring against their elected representative saying, you didn't represent my interests and I'm now suffering. I wrote to you and I told you that if you voted in favor of this bill, it's going to ruin my business. And you voted in favor of this bill and you ruined my business. I want you to pay for my business, right?
Privilege for North Carolina lawmakers is rarely tested in the courts. About 25 years ago, the scope of privilege was narrowed so that legislators could no longer legally speed to and from work. An added wrinkle in these proceedings is that we're talking about invoking state privilege in a federal court. Ultimately, the presiding judge, Thomas Schroeder, has discretion. He could compel lawmakers to testify and mandate they turn over all documents related to this case. But so far, he hasn't. He's a conservative member of the bench nominated by President George W. Bush and has ruled that in this case, privilege protects state lawmakers from having to turn over email correspondence with other legislators or staff members.
But that legislative privilege does not attach to correspondence, email correspondence between legislators and members of the public.
Chris Brook is an attorney for the ACLU, one of the plaintiffs in this case. Legislative privilege has been an obstacle for opponents of the law who are trying to prove it was designed to suppress minority voters.
So I think it's something that is a legal matter we can overcome. I do think it is regrettable that both the plaintiffs but also the public at large are never going to have a full appreciation of why House Bill 589 was adopted and why it was adopted in such a hurried fashion.
The plaintiffs will soon pass this case to the defense, and the state is expected to call rebuttal experts, other state officials, and present evidence of its own. The witness stand will remain occupied for a few more days, although those who orchestrated changes to the state voting law will not be testifying about their motivation, intent, or justification. I'm Jeff Tiberi in Winston-Salem.